Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the De'Longhi third quarter 2014 consolidated results presentation. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask a question. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fabio De'Longhi, Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the De'Longhi Group third quarter results conference call. With me, I have Mr. Biella, Director of Administration, I have Mr. Micheli, Director of Finance, and Mr. Visconti, Investor Relations Manager. As usual, we will kick off the call with some brief comments on the group nine-month and third quarter results, and then we will leave the room for Q&A session. The first nine months have been very important for the group since we managed to further expand our leadership within the small domestic appliance sector. Strong revenue growth resulted into increasing market shares, making De'Longhi, on a year-to-date basis, the new global leader in some product categories, such as kettles and toasters, while retaining the world leadership in the overall kitchen and coffee segments. Such results were achievable thanks to the group product leadership, to its global brands portfolio, as well as to the high commitment to growth investments, such as A&P and R&D, particularly evident in the third quarter. Let me comment the nine-month performance first. At constant exchange rates, to give you a better representation of the group organic performance, sales growth was very sustained, with a 9.6% constant currency growth. EBITDA, at constant exchange rates, reached 146.8 million, up from 128 million in 2013. Improving also as margin on sales from 12.5% to 13.1%. The improvement was achieved mainly thanks to lower service and non-industrial labor costs. At the current exchange rates had a negative impact on sales growth of about 3.6 percentage points. Therefore, reported growth was 6%. From product perspective, growth was driven by kitchen and food preparation appliances, coffee makers, and ironing in particular. During the third quarter, both kitchen and coffee makers accelerated their growth trajectory, reaching double-digit growth. Importantly, as already anticipated, the group has been able to reach the number one position into new product categories, such as kettles and toasters, while retaining and consolidating its global leadership into its traditional core drivers, as a broader kitchen appliance category and espresso coffee maker segment. Sales growth was good for all the group brands, even though Braun, as expected, was definitely growing at a faster pace than the rest of the brand portfolio. Looking at sales performance by geography, Europe was up 7.5%. The Northeast area was up by 14%, driven by U.K., East Europe, and Russia. Russia, in particular, despite a critical geopolitical situation and a material ruble devaluation, delivered very strong double-digit growth, even when measured in euros, showing an even stronger growth in the third quarter versus the first half of the year. The Southwest Europe area was up 4%, thanks to Germany, France, and Iberia. The Middle East, India, and Africa region, despite the well-known geopolitical issues, was up about 3% after a very strong quarter last year. The Asia-Pacific-Americas area was up 3% thanks to a positive contribution from the Americas, while Oceania was still in the negative territory. However, we want to highlight that during quarter three, the Longhi sales performance in Australia improved substantially, with revenues up double digit, which is an important silver lining from the future after several negative quarters. Now, moving on to the profitability analysis, net industrial margin reached 510 million, implying a 47% margin on revenues, down from 49% last year, partly due to negative exchange rates impact. The margin benefited from a positive volume and mix effect, while prices had a negative impact over the 9 months, which is due to some promotions which took place in the first half. The price effect was negligible in the third quarter. EBITDA stood at 136 million, up from 134 million in 2013. EBITDA margin was down primarily due to a negative currency impact of about 16 million. EBIT was marginally up versus last year at 103 million, burdened also by somewhat higher D&A linked to the industrial investments made by the group. Net income came in slightly below last year's level, also due to the higher net financial charges, up by some 4 million, almost entirely due to higher hedging costs, at 54 million. The quarter three performance at constant exchange rates, again, I would like, first of all, to comment the figures at constant exchange rates, and then as reported. Third quarter sales were strong, with a plus 8.4% growth. EBITDA reached 51 million, up from 48.6 one year ago, with margin on sales slightly decreasing from 13.4 to 13%. Quarter three EBITDA was impacted by a market increase in A&P and R&D costs to the tune of 8 million during the quarter. It is important to highlight that increased spend in A&P and R&D, which we would like to refer to as growth investments, was related also to several important product launches during the quarter, such as the new low oil fryer, multi-cooker, multi-fry, the new Kenwood branded Chef Sense stand mixer, and the new Jovia Dolce Gusto coffee maker. Moreover, with regards to the Jovia Dolce Gusto, we want to highlight that quarter three cost of goods sold and industrial costs were somewhat burdened by the start of the Jovia production, which took place at the Italian plant, and by the subsequent move of the production to our Romanian plants. At the current exchange rates, we had a negative impact on sales of about 2 percentage points, and the four reported growth was plus 6.4%. The main products driving sales growth were preparation appliances and coffee makers, with both categories up double digit in quarter three at current exchange rates. On the contrary, third quarter portable heating sales were negative, mainly due to a slow start of the cold season in Japan, while air conditioning sales were marginally positive. Home care as a whole performed in line with the group average performance, but growth was all driven by irons, while floor care appliances were not positive. Net industrial margin reached 182.9 million, implying a 90 basis points dilution of margin on revenues to 47.3. The dilution, which is significantly lower than the one experienced in half one, was largely driven by the negative exchange rate impact. EBITDA stood at 49.4 million, down from 51.2 a year earlier, due to a combination of negative currency impact and higher A&P and R&D investment, as discussed. EBIT stood at 38 million, due to the mentioned components, unfavorable exchange rates, higher A&P and R&D, as well as to higher D&A linked to an industrial investment made by the group. Finally, net income was 21.2 million, down from 25.3 million in quarter 3, 2013. Let me give you now a brief snapshot of some key balance sheet items. Net debt as of September 30, 2014, stood at 97 million, down from 121.5 million as of September 2013, despite some 120 million between dividends and capex paid over the period. Excluding non-cash components from the net debt figure, the net financial position versus banks and third-party lenders was negative by 57.5 million, compared to negative by 73.6 million as of the end of September 2013. Finally, the net trade working capital was up to 365 million from 335 million in September 2013. As a percentage of sales, it increased from 21.4 to 21.8, in order to support the new product launches and the Braun relaunch in several markets. Guidance, some comments I want to share with you are on guidance for the fiscal year 2014. First of all, I want to highlight the fact that the group organic growth over the first 9 months is close to 10%, was very strong, and was substantially above the market trends. Unfortunately, a good deal of organic performance, but at revenues and EBITDA level, was overshadowed by negative factors, which are not under our control, such as foreign exchange fluctuations. Despite these headwinds, the group continued to pursue its strategy to invest for growth and to sustain its premium positioning, maintaining its commitments to A&P and R&D spend, and effectively protecting and even increasing its global market shares. We expect the fourth quarter to confirm the positive organic growth trajectory seen over the first 9 months. At the same time, all our investment activities for the last quarter are consistent with our assumption of a sustained growth, and we are not really willing to scale them back if some markets were to deteriorate. Finally, the last thing I want to share is how difficult it is, especially these days, to predict external variables such as geopolitical conflicts or exchange rates, which are entirely beyond our control. With that, my introductory comments are over, and I would like to leave room to Q&A section. I kindly ask you to stick with three questions maximum in order to give room for everybody to participate to Q&A session. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Andrea Bonfa of Bancaretti. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon to everybody. Hope you can hear me. My first question is regarding the hedging on the US dollar. If you can remind us what's your hedge in 2015 versus 2014. And the second one is related to plastic costs. If you see or if you are expecting some benefits from the reduction in oil prices. And the third one, the final one is, as far as the consensus is concerned, in taking into account what you mentioned during your introduction on the results, it seems to me that you should be able to beat the 250 million EBITDA, assuming that the Forex impact in the last quarter is virtually nil as I'm expecting to. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. So, well, the first question is about hedging on US dollar for 2015. I want to confirm that we have entirely hedged US dollar for 2015 versus, let's say, euro at around 1.29, slightly below, let's say, 1.30, at 1.29, more or less. Second question on oil prices. Indeed, we expect some, let's say, help on raw materials due to the decline on oil prices. I have to say that, again, our main concern about our, let's say, cost of goods sold for us are particularly high in the Asian region. So we have to look into possible inflation due to the revaluation of the renminbi and also of the, let's say, revaluation of the dollar, which is influencing also our cost of goods sold in Asia. Yes, we have hedged, but the hedging is at around 1.29, which is somewhat lower of the hedging in place for 2014. Just as a reminder, our average dollar for 2014 is at about 1.34. So we have about 4% negative impact in 2015 due to the revaluation of the dollar. The third question was about the guidance. And I'm indeed optimistic because the company is performing very well. I think that the growth is very solid. Markets are difficult. We estimate the SDA market at a growth rate around 1% or 2% globally in the markets that we monitor, which are excluding United States and China. And we are definitely outperforming competition. We are growing at a very high pace. We have great success with the new product launches, and we are even reinforcing our position in our core businesses like coffee. I think that also the success with the kettles and toasters is a sign of a very good performance. Although, I want to say that you all know how important the fourth quarter is. So last year also was a very strong quarter for us, where we delivered about 107 million euro in EBITDA at around 18% EBITDA margin. And in general, we delivered about 40% of the total year EBITDA in the last quarter. I think that beating consensus is very difficult. Beating consensus would be very difficult. I think that reaching consensus is definitely possible. But I want to stress that we need to deliver another strong organic performance in the last quarter, as numbers are suggesting. Now, our numbers are pretty good. They're solid, particularly on the growth side. But again, we have to keep in mind adverse effects. We stress all the time we're going to have, again, headwinds in the exchange rates. So you have also to consider that. So what I think my, let's say, my comment on your question, my answer to your question is that it would be very difficult. I wouldn't say don't expect to beat really the consensus. I think that we will really try to reach the consensus given the current difficult global circumstances, particularly in exchange rate and some instability, particularly in Russia and Ukraine.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Filippo Prini of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Good evening to everybody. One question from my side. You quoted higher advertising promotion related to the launch of new product. Could you give some indication on how long you will invest in more advertising promotion or even research and development? So it's a temporary effect for this quarter or should be also found also in the next quarter, possibly in the first part of next year? Thank you.
I know that the quarter has shown an increase in AMP, a substantial increase in AMP, if I'm not wrong, about 20% higher than usual. But again, our goals are to have an AMP spent on a yearly basis at around, say, 10%, 9 to 10%. So we don't want to change in the long run this say investment, this ratio, this percentage. We will we continue to invest at around let's say 10%. But then you have also to consider flexibility. We can have different phasing. We can have quarters which can be impacted by higher A&P spend when. New product launches are particularly important, and this has been the case of the quarter. So we don't expect a change in the, let's say, long-term, if you will, strategy, and also impact of AMP, but you can expect some, let's say, surprises in a quarter, in a specific quarter.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Domenico Ghilotti of Equita SIM. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. The first question is a follow-up say, on the increased advertising and also R&D cost. So basically on AMP, you are sticking to the 10% incidence on sales. I'd like to understand what we should assume for the R&D. So if you are really targeting to a small increase in incidence on cost in terms of R&D for this year and next year. And the second question is on Forex headwinds, in particular looking at 2015, so at the current level, so at current spot rates and considering the existing hedging, I would like to have your current situation for FX headwinds, in particular related to your global exposure to US dollar, renminbi, and the ruble, and if you have considered hedging the renminbi, if it is possible and suitable today. And the last question is on price increases. Let's understand if you are targeting some price increases in Russia, considering the further devaluation in the ruble.
Okay. First question was an AMP.
R&D more than AMP, but
sorry, R&D. Similarly to AMP. We are not changing our long-term R&D impact on total sales, which will stay at around 2.5%, let's say, around between 2 and 3%. Again, in the quarter, we had a higher cost also related to the product launches. We are getting ready for introduction of the products in many markets, which is translating in higher R&D cost for the quarter, but there is no change in the long-term guidance for the group.
Okay.
The second point, your question you asked was about Forex headwinds for the next year.
Yeah, starting to look at 2015, at least at the current spot rates.
Yeah, at the moment. We can say that we expect the headwinds due to the dollar, due to the ruble, and due to the yen, and we will probably elaborate more on what can be a precise impact of exchange rates in the near future. Also, when we will have available budget figures for next year, because we can have variances in the performance of the single market, which can also materially influence the potential impact of headwinds. I think that for sure we're going to have a negative impact, and we will elaborate better. Can be at around let's say 15-20%. Sorry, 15-20 million impact on exchange rates, probably. But again, we need to work more in details on budget figures to give you a more detailed answer.
And have you considered, so my follow-up on renminbi, is it possible?
Renminbi? On renminbi, we do some hedging also on renminbi, and for next year we are hedged at around 30% on renminbi.
Okay. Last question was on the price increases in Russia.
Price increase in Russia. We have already increased prices very recently. Unfortunately, the trend is such that we will have to pass on another price increase, which very likely will be effective in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult to... We've changed the price list in Russia in the month of September. You have to give some notice to customers, and we will for sure issue a new price list. I cannot disclose the entity of the price increase, but there will be a material price increase which will be effective now, probably by January 2015.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Anna Patrice of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, good afternoon. Thank you for the presentation. A couple of questions from my side. First, you were talking about the coffee sales growth. So can you give a bit more details? What was the growth breakdown by the subsegments, and what were the key growth drivers behind it? So if you can tell us what was an espresso, Latissima, Dolce Gusto, and fully automated coffee machines growth, and how it has developed recently. And then the next question is regarding the net industrial margin dilution. So if you can tell us how much is coming from foreign exchange, what is the impact from Brown, and also if there is any impact from the higher promotional activities. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. The first question is about the growth by segment, and particularly related to Latissima, Espresso, and Fully Auto. I would say that we had a strong performance with Total Coffee, with a growth rate of Total Coffee at 6%. For the 9 months. I think this is a very strong performance. The market is more, let's say, stable according to the global view. So we are gaining again market share. Good news from, I think, fully automatic coffee machines, which are growing above let's say, average, above 6%. We are also performing well in Latissima. We are slightly negative on, let's say, the D-range Nespresso, the outsourced range of Nespresso, but we are positive in Latissima. Also, Latissima is growing at around 6% year-on-year. So for, let's say, the long-made products, we are performing very well. Also, growth is coming from Pump Espresso coffee maker. Pump Espresso coffee maker is a declining segment. It's not a growing segment, but we have been able, thanks to the success of the new launches, to offset the segment decline. And here we are growing also above segment average of 6%. So all in all, we are very pleased with the coffee numbers. I think this is well one of the best news for us. We basically ended last year with negative growth for the segment of coffee, and also a very slow start at the beginning of the year. Now coffee is growing again, and the long is outperforming the market. So positive news on coffee. I want to highlight that also strong performance for Kenwood in the kitchen machines. In the 9 months, Kenwood is growing at around 15% in the kitchen machines. And the good news is coming from toasters and blenders and water kettles, particularly toasters and water kettles, where we are now world leader according to company estimates and the data that we buy, and blender also thanks to Braun, we have also acceleration in this segment. So we are very pleased with the group level by segment. In terms of margin, indeed, industrial margin is down. I want to highlight that now we are closing the gap. We are closing the gap. For in the 9 months, the decline of the margin is about 2%, while in the quarter, the decline of the margin is at 1%. So we're getting closer as we are improving on pricing. We had some negative price effect in the first, half of the year. Now the price effect is not negative anymore. The mix is not positive anymore. We are growing sometime faster in product segments which are delivering a lower margin, but so price mix in the quarter is more or less zero. And we are still facing a negative exchange rate. So I would say that today probably the margin dilution is totally attributable in the quarter to exchange rates. We benefiting, of course, in the margin because of the volumes, the higher volumes for the group. You asked a question about Braun. Braun, yes, is somehow somewhat diluting in terms of margins, but we see positive improvements at Braun. First of all, in terms of top line, for sure the top line is growing faster for Braun. Braun is the fastest growing brand at De'Longhi today, and also we are improving our operational performance.
Thank you. Maybe just one more follow-up. When you look at the sales growth at the coffee division, is it driven mainly by volume or you also have a positive price or product mix? Thank you.
Sorry, the line is a bit disturbed. Can you repeat?
Yes, in the top line growth of the coffee machine sales, is it driven mostly by volumes or there is also positive price impact?
It is more by volume. We're more by volume, yes.
And do you see any pressure on the prices?
The pressure of we see that pricing pressure now is lower. We saw an improvement in the quarter. The price effect has been stronger in the first 6 months, and now is lower.
Thank you very much.
At the point that I said, the pure price effect in the quarter was basically zero, while it was negative in the first 6 months.
Sorry, in the Q3 it was positive, the price?
In the first 6 months, in the first half, we had a negative price effect, while in the quarter, the price effect is zero.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Luca Bacoccoli of Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. My first question regards the Australia performance. You were mentioning double-digit increase in sales, and I was wondering what is behind this strong revert in the sales trend. The second one is on the trading condition. If you can provide us October in terms of sales performance. And finally, the last one is on FX. During your last conference call, the FX headwind was forecast between 25 and 30 million euros at EBITDA level. I was wondering if you are sticking with this projection, or you have a higher or lower forecast on this driver. Thank you.
Sorry, first question was about
Australia. Australia.
Okay, also Australia. In the 9 months, Australia is still pretty negative. We had negative growth in Australia for the 9 months. The growth rate. Let me get to that. Just one second. In Australia. We had a negative growth for the quarter for approximately 10%, 9.8%, which means 7.5 million euro less in Australia. But good news in the quarter from Australia. We are back to growth in the quarter. So this is hopefully indicating a new trend, or at least we are stopping the old trend. And we had a positive growth in Australia for the quarter of approximately 14%. Obviously, we can't expect now to have a trend for 14% growth going forward in Australia. But we think that we have reached the bottom, and we're ready now to build up and grow again in Australia in the future. Okay. So second question, if it's enough this about Australia. Trading in October was in line with our expectations. Just to give you maybe some more details, flavors of what's happening, we saw a very strong performance of cooking and kitchen. Gain coffee, food preparation, also brown in general, and we see weakness in the comfort area due to a very slow start of the season. We don't think that necessarily this should be, continuing in the next months. I think that we just had a slow start, but we still expect that we can offset the slowdown in comfort and also deliver some positive growth in comfort in the next in November and December. So, but trading is confirming the data, the trends that we are seeing in the first 9 months. With regard to FX exchange rates, I'd say 25 to 30 is a fair estimation of what could be a full year impact on EBITDA exchange rates. We have no change, we have no new guidance on FX impact at this point of time.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Andrea Bonfa of Banca Aletti. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening again. One of the questions has been already answered, but I got some follow-ups on your last answer on the Forex. If I understood correctly, your 25-30 million Forex expectation for the full year at the EBITDA level, it implies about 15-20 million in the last quarter, if I'm correct. This is actually my question. And sorry, I didn't catch what you said about your hedging on the renminbi. If you can repeat
Okay.
that.
Okay,
Thank you.
so on EBITDA, we expect between 10 and 15 million impact at EBITDA level in the last quarter.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much.
The second question about renminbi, yes, we are hedging also renminbi, and we have hedged approximately 30% of the renminbi exposure for the group expected in 2015.
Is it possible to know the levels, or if there is any material impact to you, for you, or not current levels?
This is just to give you a guidance. We will be more detailed about the hedging once that we will have completed the budget and completed the, let's say, the hedging strategy for next year.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Domenico Ghilotti of Equita SIM. Please go ahead.
My last question is related on inventories and inventory level. You were commenting that incidence on sales is up year-on-year, and you are preparing for the launch, in particular for the brown product. So I wonder if we should assume that working capital will be a drain on free cash flow for the full year for 2014. So waiting for 2015 release of additional inventory build-up.
Okay. Well, indeed, our inventory is higher. Is around 40 million above last year at the same period. I want to highlight that last year in September, the inventory levels were very, very low because fairly in line with the prior year, despite the brown integration. So I think that we definitely have a very difficult comparison on inventory level comparing our figures this year to last year. We have grown inventories because we are facing very important launches, many new products, important products, and we mentioned the main ones, Chef Sense. We mentioned also the Multi-Fry, the new fryer. We're also mentioning as important new launch, the Jovia. So we are really, say, ramping up in many product lines. We couldn't risk to be short of stock with very important products. We're very confident. Markets are very confident. We're getting ready for, let's say, another strong quarter. The group is growing at about 10%. So I think that it's important. We know how important is managing properly working capital, but we are comfortable because we are facing a strong momentum for the group, and we have very important launches. And we think that you will see improvement in thanks to, say, the sales in the quarter, and we will stabilize working capital, if not by the end of the year, in the subsequent quarter. So I'm not concerned about that. I also want to highlight that indeed we delivered over the years a very good improvement, and we have now a very tough comparison with 1 year ago.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. De'Longhi, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, thank you everybody for joining the De'Longhi third quarterly results conference call. Bye-bye.